2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy is right before 3 Timothy. Let's pray while you're finding your place. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful and grateful that you have brought us back tonight. It is a privilege and an honor, a joy, to be able to come to your house. I trust we all feel that joy of being able to be in your house tonight, to be with your people, to worship you, to hear your word expounded and preached, to hear about you, to gain knowledge of you. May our hearts rejoice. May we be able to leave tonight saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. While we are here tonight, we need your help. I pray, God, that you would send your Spirit to preach your word tonight and then to enable us to hear. And we pray that you would reveal yourself to us and give us the ability to receive that revelation for your glory and for our good. Lead us and guide us and direct us tonight as we open your word and read your word. May you receive all glory and honor, we pray. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17. Before we get there, let me just remind you that we are using a Baptist catechism to equip ourselves to explain biblical truths and to be able to defend biblical truths. I want us to be able to explain biblical truths and then also be able to defend biblical truths against error. And so the way we're trying to do that is sort of just looking at a Baptist catechism and asking some questions and answering them and looking at them more in depth biblically. So let me ask the first question. I'll let you answer it before we give the answer. Who is the first and the best of all beings? The answer is what? God. God is the first and best of all beings, and therefore He deserves praise, service, honor, and glory. Amen? The first and the best deserves praise, service, honor, and glory, and God is the first and best of all beings. Question number 2. What is the chief end of man? What is your answer to that question? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So we are created beings, and the chief end, or the purpose for which we were created, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is why we exist, and that's what we will be doing in eternity. If you don't like to glorify God here, what will you do when we get there? Because that's what we're going to be doing, glorifying Him for all eternity. So what is our main purpose? What is the reason why we exist? It is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Good. Question number 3. How do we know there is a God? 2 ways. Number 1, what is the first way we know there is a God? Through general revelation or creation, which is enough to show us that there is a God, not enough to save us. What do we need to how does God reveal Himself to us in a saving way? Through the Scriptures. So there is creation where He reveals Himself and reveals that there is a God. There is the Spirit and His Word that He reveals Himself to us for our salvation. Amen. Very good. So now we're up to question number 4. What is the Word of God? And the answer here is this. the Word of God or the Scriptures are both the Old and the New Testaments being given by divine inspiration. They are the Word of God, and they are the only infallible rule of faith and practice. So the Word of God is contained in both the Old and the New Testaments. Both have been given by divine inspiration, and they are the only infallible rule of faith and practice. So that's what we're sort of going to try to flesh out a little bit tonight. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul, writing to Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens down these words for Timothy and for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's God's word. And all God's people said, amen. So if we say that it is through the Word of God, it's what we said last time we were together, it is through the Word of God, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, that God reveals Himself to us, we are able to learn who God is, truly, what He has done for us, and how we are to respond to Him in faith and live our lives in fellowship with Him. If that is true, as we said it is true, then how do we know that the Scriptures are true? How do we know the Scriptures are reliable? If we're saying the way that we know God in a saving way is only through the Scriptures, how do we know those Scriptures are right? How do we know those Scriptures are true? How do we know we can rely on those Scriptures to give us a true and accurate revelation of God? And so we have to answer the question, what is the Word of God? And so from this text tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, I want to give us three things tonight in which we believe are true about the Word of God that makes the Word of God reliable and true. Number one, the source of the Word of God. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment tonight that creation and all that we know of creation, let's imagine tonight that it does not have that built-in intention of revealing to us the existence of God. So all we have is creation. We have all the beauty of creation, but we are taking away its intention or its purpose or its work of revealing to us the existence of God. So we have beautiful grass and beautiful flowers and beautiful mountains and beautiful lakes and streams and that, but we're imagining for a moment that they do not reveal to us the existence of God. It's just creation. We don't know how it was created. We don't know the process in it. We just don't know. It doesn't reveal to us a creator or an architect or a powerful God that is behind it all. And then also imagine that we don't have the Word of God. So we don't have creation to reveal to us. We don't have the intention of creation to reveal to us that there is a God. And let's imagine we don't even have the Word of God that reveals to us in a saving way who God is, what God has done, and how we are to respond to that. So without creation revealing the existence of God and without Scripture revealing to us who God is and what He has done, what would we know about God? If creation doesn't point to the existence of God, and if we don't have the Word of God to show us who God truly is, what do we know about God? The answer is nothing. We don't know there is a God, and we don't know anything about Him if there is a God. Without creation and without the Word of God, we know absolutely nothing about God. Nothing. We wouldn't even know that He exists, and we would know nothing else about Him either. We would know nothing about His compassion or His grace or His mercy. We would know nothing about His Son and all of those things. We would know nothing about that. We would be a people with absolutely no knowledge of God, and therefore we would not be able to be saved from perishing. Say amen. Knock on wood if you're with me. No, I haven't seen that. Okay. Everybody on the front of your pew, knock on wood if you're with me. There we go. That sounds good. So, knowledge of God does not come from man. Knowledge of God doesn't come from this world. All right? It's not who God is, that God exists, or who God is or what God has done for us is not a matter of man's opinion. It's not a matter of man's ideas. Man doesn't teach us about God, and neither can man show us what we can know about God. So, Scripture, the Word of God, is given to us by inspiration of who? God. So what we know about God comes from God Himself. And it must come from God Himself because we don't know anything about God. Does that make sense? If there is any knowledge of God, it must come from God because we don't have knowledge of God apart from the knowledge God gives of Himself. If God doesn't reveal it to us, we don't know. And so truth is not from this world. There is no truth that comes from this world in the matter of God. It must come from God's world, and it comes from God's world by revelation. So God has given us His Word, and then, thank God, He has given us minds capable of perceiving or receiving the revelation of God. So Scriptures find their origin in God. So as you hold your Bibles tonight, what we say is, every word in Scripture is God-breathed. It is given to us by the inspiration of God, so that these are not men's words. These are God's words. They are not the result of religious ideas. They are not great ideas that God somehow stamps His seal of approval on. They're not man's ideas that God approves. They are the very words of God imparted to us without error through various human authors. So the thing is, God has chosen to reveal Himself to us by what? His Word. All Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. All Scripture is inspired by God. This means that God ordained to speak to us and to reveal Himself to us and interpret His deeds in history for us by inspiring these things to be written down in words. We know those words were Greek, New Testament, Hebrew, and some Aramaic, Old Testament. Say amen. Those words are inspired. Now, the translation of those are not inspired, but the words that he had these men write down were inspired. And so when it says Scripture here, all Scripture, it means the writings that God inspired. All Scripture, Old and New Testaments, are inspired, are God-breathed. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." So what Peter says here is that these things that you have in your Bible are not by God, by men's will. They're not by men's, these are not men's thoughts. But he says they came by holy men of God as he spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They wrote things down as the Holy Spirit inspired them to do. So the Scriptures of the Old Testament and the Scriptures of the New Testament are actually God's revelation of Himself to us. At the very heart of our understanding of the knowledge of God is the fact that the Word of God is the revelation of God Himself, and He has ordained Himself to be known by and through His Word. So, if we take away the Word, all we know is that God exists through creation. You don't know what God has done. You don't know who God is. You can't be saved. Say amen. If the Bible doesn't tell us who God is, nothing can tell us who God is. Say amen. If the Word of God does not tell us who God is and what Christ has done, nothing can tell us. Say amen. The only way we can know God is by the means by which He has revealed Himself. Inspiration here means God breathed, which means that these are the very words of God. And if God is true, then His words must be true. What God says about Himself must be true because God is true. So there's no argument here about who God says He is or what God says He has done. Because God is true, all His words must be true. And because the Word of God is from God, it must be true. Or we could say, all of the truths that are pinned down in Scripture are infallible, which means they will never lead us astray in what they are teaching. It means that the Word of God is true and it does not err. It means that whatever God has pinned down in His Word, it all is reliable. Whatever the Word of God says, we might fight against it. We might argue against it. We may even disobey it. But whatever God says is true and is the right way to go. Say amen. The Bible will never lead you astray. It is true because it is God's Word. So the source of the Word of God is not fallible men, but it is an infallible God who has chosen to reveal Himself in the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. So how do I know who God is? Because the Scriptures tell me who God is, and because the Scriptures are God's own Word about Himself. Say amen. And if the Word of God doesn't contain it, nothing contains it. Say amen. Number two. Notice secondly here the significance of the Word of God. Not only the source, but the significance of the Word of God. So how does God work in the world? How does God work in and through people? How does God work salvation in lost sinners. And how does God work in believers? And I think Paul says here that the way God works in the world is through His Word. Now you remember, in the beginning, God created the world by His Word. And you do understand that's the way it has been since the beginning. All His actions are done through His what? Word. If you'll look through the New Testament, Jesus, who was God, right? How did He calm seas? He spoke. And when He spoke, winds ceased and waves were calm. Say amen. How did God calm people who had fever? He spoke. Somebody help me. How were demons cast out of demon-possessed people? He spoke. How were sins forgiven by Christ? He spoke. How did the blind receive their sight? He spoke. How were the dead raised? He spoke. God worked by the means of His Word. And we know that God continues to work by His Word. Look again at the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable, useful, beneficial. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the way that God brings about good works in His people is by His Word. This is why Jesus said that men will see your good works and do what? Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God works by His Word to do good works through and in His people in this world. So what does Paul say here? He says that the way God teaches us truth about God is by His Word. The way God reproves us is by His Word. The way God corrects us is by His Word. The way God instructs us in the ways of righteousness is by His Word. The way God equips us for good works is by His Word. So the reason why the Bible is useful is because God uses it. Somebody help me. He saves us by His Word. He sanctifies us by His Word. The Word is profitable or beneficial because it is the means by which God works in this world. It is the way that God works in my life, and it is the way that God works in your life through the Word. The Word of God is how God teaches us those things that are true. The Word of God is how God confronts us in our sinfulness. The Word of God is how God convinces us that our ideas and our thoughts and our actions are not right. By His Word, He does all this. The Bible has this unique power to expose sin in our lives and convince us that we are wrong. In a way that no other person can. By exposing our sin, we can then confess that sin, forsake that sin, and be careful to avoid that sin in the future. The Word of God is how God not only points out where we are wrong, but it also shows us the right path we are to travel. Say amen. It is the Word of God. Where else do you know the ways of God and the will of God? You don't know the ways of God, nor do you know the will of God outside of the Word of God. I don't care how much at peace you feel or how many little goosey bump feelings you get, you don't know the will of God outside of the Word of God. Say amen. It is through the Word of God that He reveals His ways and His will. The Word reveals to us how we can be pleasing to God. It is the Word of God that shows us how God can train us in righteousness. He teaches us how we are to serve Him. He teaches us how we are to worship Him. He teaches us how we are to obey Him in all stations and all circumstances of life. God uses the Word of God to mature us in the faith with God. And the Word of God is how God works good works in us and through us. It is through the Word that we have adequate resources to minister to others. So by the Word, we can confidently impart the truth to others. Because I'm not imparting my ideas, but rather the words of God, which we have, well, hopefully I have, you have, applied in our own lives, and they have proved reliable. How can I tell somebody anything about the Word of God if I don't know the Word of God? So, the significance of the Word is that God uses His Word to teach us truth, to reprove us, to correct us, to instruct us in righteousness, and to furnish us with all good works so that we can minister to one another. All those things come through God's using the Word of God. And God's people said, that's right. Now, I don't think we take the Word of God very serious. But if the Word of God does all that, should I not take the Word of God serious? Can I have a flippant attitude toward the Word of God? So, let me speak for just a moment about the seriousness of the Word of God. And what I want you to do is let your eyes travel down a few inches to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The break here is not a good break. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he's still talking about the Word of God. So, this is what he says. Timothy, because all Scripture is inspired by God, and because all Scripture is used by God to teach truth, to reprove, to correct, to instruct in righteousness, to furnish the congregation with all good works, because those things are true. Verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, to do what? Preach! Don't just preach, though. There's a lot of preaching. What's he say? Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, you preach the Word. Your political thoughts don't make a hill of beans. Somebody help me. The latest climate disaster, whatever, glaciers melting, whatever. El Nino, El Diablo, El Taco Burrito. Who cares? Because you know what? Your speeches on your opinions on political things, your opinions on the latest news, your opinions on weather patterns and climate, whatever that's called, what is it called? Global warming. So you see how I don't even care. I don't even know the terminology. Global warming. Let me tell those guys something. You talking about global warming, wait till they get to hell. My political opinions, my take on the latest happenings in America, my take on global warming, that will not, number one, that is not inspired, it does not come from God, comes from me, I'm fallible, say amen, doesn't come from God, it comes from me, it will not teach you anything about God's truth, it will not confront you with your sinfulness, it will not correct you and show you the right path, it will not teach you and instruct you in righteousness, and it will not furnish you anything in good works. What good is it? He doesn't say, Timothy, you preach the latest political problems. You teach how bad Nero is. No, he says, Timothy, you preach the word. You preach the word because it is the word that is the word of God. It is the word that will teach the people truth. It is the word that will reprove them and correct them and instruct them in righteousness. It is the word that will furnish them with every good work so that they can minister to one another. You preach the word. Shame on preachers that don't preach the word. Because we can only know God through the word. We can only know God by what God has said in His Scripture. We can only fellowship with God as He has said through Scripture. It is only through Scripture that God works in teaching us and confronting our sins and showing us the right way and teaching us how to serve Him in all situations and equipping us to serve by good works. Why would we preachers preach anything else but the Word? Understand this. Me telling you my life story is worthless. Somebody help me. I heard a preacher say he was teasing about the revival he was in. He said, now tomorrow night, I'm giving my life story. Make sure that you invite lost people because they're going to come and hear my life story and be saved. No, they're not. It is by the word of God. God works, not through our stories. Somebody help me. Now let me ask you a question. If Timothy, and by implication, me, if I am commanded by God, because the Word of God is God's Word and because God works through it, that I am to expound the Word of God and I am to rightly divide the Word of God so that it is profitable and useful. The Word of God is to be preached. Doesn't that also mean that you have a responsibility? Let me put it a different way. Let's say Paul's not talking to me. Let's say Paul's talking to you. Let's say Paul's not talking to Timothy. He's talking to the church. And this is what Paul says. All Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God. It is profitable. It is used by God every time it is preached. You with me? It is used by God to instruct us in doctrine, to reprove us, to correct us, to instruct us in righteousness, and to equip us and furnish us with every good work. That's what the Word of God is. Therefore, I charge you, the congregation before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, come hear the Word of God. If I'm to preach it, if I'm commanded to preach it, do not think you are not commanded to come hear it. Do not. We want to throw that on the preacher, don't we? Well, you're commanded to preach the Word. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're commanded to come hear the Word preached. I'm waiting on you. That's what our obligation is. If the Word of God is being expounded, rightly divided, it will be profitable to those who come and hear it. Therefore, come and hear it. Say amen. And let me add something else. If the Scripture is the Word of God and beneficial and used by God, should we not read it and should we not study it? And we should not fail to show up and hear it. Whether it's preached or whether in Sunday school it is taught. Somebody help me. Why do we avoid it? You know why we avoid it? We don't believe that. We don't believe 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. We don't. If I had a pill that made you younger, oh, Bob, we can make some money. What if I said, I have a pill, it makes us younger, but it only makes you younger for 4 days. Well, let me say, the first pill is only going to make you younger for about 6 hours. Then the second pill is going to make you younger for 4 days. And then the last pill is going to make you younger for 4 more days or 3 more days. I'm going to give them out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And they're going to make you younger. How many people are showing up? Nobody. Nobody wants to be younger. I like old age, preacher. God said, the Word of God will instruct you and reprove you and correct you and teach you and furnish you. Every time it's preached, every time it's read, every time it's studied, why are we not exposing ourselves more to it? You see, the more we are exposed to the Word of God, the more we learn of God, from God, and the more we are equipped to do what we are existing to do, and that is to glorify God in everything we do and we say. So it's not just, oh, you know what? I believe all Scripture is given by God through the inspiration of God. I believe that. We'll go down to verse 1 and 2. And if it's a command to Timothy to preach the Word, it's a command to you to come hear the Word preached. Say amen. And if you want to argue with that with some Scripture, I'll be up here at front after the service. Say amen. How do we know what the Bible says about God is true? Because it is God's Word. And it is used by God to teach us about God. Say amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And God, I pray that You would always enable me to preach it. Not to be distracted and preach on fads, opinions, man's ideas. What do the Scriptures say? And God, help me not only to preach it and feel the obligation to preach the Word, because it is the Word of God that is God's Word, and it is through the Word of God that God does great things. But God, I pray that you put it on your people a burden to come hear the Word of God preached. Because we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable and equips us and completes us for every good work. Work that in my heart. Massage that into the hearts of your people. That we know that is true. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.